Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That's what's going to be written on your tombstone someday when you're gone. Office there's nobody room. In here. Right. We can do whatever we want.
Wow. You know what? The day that comes that I'm gone, just take and throw me in the dumpster, the blue bin, and take me to the curb. That's all you need.
I'm not going to be buried in a grave. When I'm dead, just throw me in the trash.
Well, I missed one of these shows, and I missed all that. I don't know. That was very, very dark.
It was a very special show up in the Bulldog with Sal and Rob Ray, apparently, that you weren't there for.
I guess. No, I didn't know about that. But we've had many emotional moments with Rob over the years, and I don't know, maybe today will mean another. As Rob Ray joins us on the Western Hotline, how are you, Rob?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are you?
Okay. What's life like for you these days?
Life's actually pretty good.
That's good.
Getting a lot done. A lot of things that I never really got done until later in the summer. So clean up. I got my basement all done. I got my office all cleaned out. I got two garages cleaned out. What else? Trim some trees. Life's good.
At what point do you think you'll be sort of like going insane?
I don't think I will because I got enough.
You still
got enough to keep me going.
There's still more. There's always more.
Those trees keep growing.
It's in your head. I've told you this many times.
Well, I'm glad.
It's all upstairs. If you just flush all that out and just kind of live and just do your thing, and you don't get dragged down by all that.
I kind of thought you might say that you needed us because you're going nuts, stuck in your house. Are you conforming to all the stay home, you know, advisements?
I'm home a lot, but I've had an apartment that I had somebody move out of, so I've been over there painting and fixing and plumbing, and then I got another spot over here that I got a garage that I keep all my stuff in, so I've changed all the oils and all the mowers and all that kind of stuff, and now I'm staring at my old truck thinking maybe it's time to start getting it going.
Yeah, that's
good.
How old is the
truck?
50. It's a 50 Ford.
Wow.
50?
And have you had work or done work, much work on it already, or no?
Oh, it's all, like, body-wise, it's all done. It's all original. It's got the original everything in it. So, no, I just got to, you know, charge the battery and get it rolling over and get driving it a little bit.
This is good. I'm really encouraged by this, especially after that open. I mean, here is Rob getting up in the morning and just, like, getting to work at stuff. And he's got things to do at his house, at other places. You're active. That's important.
It is. Hey, I'm outside last night shooting pucks with my son. This old guy comes along, not that old, walking his dog. And I said, how you making out? Well, you know, I got a little stuffy nose and a little bit of a cough. And I just hope it's not turning into something else. I'm like, dude. Come on. You're just sitting there waiting for something to happen to you, and you're thinking that the worst all the time. How do you live like that?
Yeah, so you were
a
ray of light.
But I had to do the social distancing thing.
You were a ray of hope for this guy with his dog.
Yeah.
Well, I hope so.
Rob, ray of hope.
But you weren't close to him. You didn't get close. Because that doesn't sound like someone you'd want to be real, real close to.
No.
Yeah.
No, not a lot. Not somebody you'd really want to hang around with either, because it would drag you down.
Well, Rob, what's the adjustment from, I'm laughing already, I'm just sort of expecting a certain answer. What's your adjustment from no hockey been like?
It's been actually pretty good.
How about that?
You know what? You miss not being there, and you miss, you know, everything, you know. But it happens at the end of every year anyway, so you're kind of going through the same as you would have a week or two from now whenever the season was over. So all you're doing is getting a couple-week head start on it.
Have you thought at all about what it would be like to still be an active player and have this going on?
You know what? We had strikes, lockouts, and all that kind of thing, so you kind of experience it. You do your best to try to stay mentally into it and stay in shape and all that kind of thing, but eventually it just kind of hits you that it might not happen again, and you just kind of get into that summer mode. Go ahead.
Sorry, Rob. I was going to say, what about the night in Montreal or that 24 hours where you guys land there and then come to realize that you're just going to be coming back? What was that like?
That was a little different because you're just sitting there and you're waiting for the call. You knew it was going to happen at some point, especially the night before the NBA thing. So it was just a matter of when it was going to happen, and nobody really made the call until the last minute. And so, you came home, but, it's a little different when you're on the road and then you're sitting there and it's like, okay, when are we leaving? What's going on? And there's really not a ton of information because there's really – they all had to wait to see what was going on from the league. So, in a way, it's kind of like not a relief, but it was like, okay, all right, let's move on. It's not as if it's just a matter of when.
Was everybody on that trip starting to take precautions themselves? It was a pretty scary couple of days there. It's all scary, but with that NBA example you mentioned, and then you had the player on Utah who had tested positive, and the rest of the team and the other team, they're on the court, they're getting ready to go. I wonder what the conversations were between players, and were you seeing maybe yourself or other people starting to sort of change their habits at that point?
Well, you know what? Even at that time, it never really sunk in until that night, the night before that it all happened because of the NBA. Yeah. And even the next day when you're around the hotel and some of the guys, they had their meetings, they went to the rink and then told to go home and trainers. And as soon as you seen the trainers and that come back, you knew that it was okay, we're good. And, without even knowing it. So they were in the same position as we were. They didn't know what was going on. I know Jason addressed them along with the coach and let them know what they knew, but nobody knew anything at that point. Nobody really even knew what was going on even when we got home. So, you just sit there with a bunch of questions and guys kind of looking at each other and just kind of taking it that, all right, we'll see what happens here, not thinking that it's going to last forever, and you're just moving forward.
Something that Mike has brought up that we've been talking about somewhat in the first part of today's show, Rob, is how different this would be if the Sabres looked like they were on the verge of just ending the playoff drought, if they were even Florida a couple of points out with 13 games to go, or even better than that, a team that was in a spot and looked pretty sure to make it, how much different this would be. I, like you, saw the season hit pause and just kind of went, okay, well, no big deal. I miss these visits with you two or three times a week, but mostly, the season didn't really matter at this point to me that much. And I know the players would feel differently about that. They're playing for their livelihoods and their careers and all that. But as a fan, it would be a lot different if this team were, 10 games above 500 or something.
Wouldn't that really suck? It would be like you're sitting there and going, that's our luck. And that's what everybody would be saying is we're doomed. That's just our luck. We finally get ourselves in that position, and this is what's going to happen. So, but as far as that, you knew, a couple weeks prior to that, it was just a matter of winding it down and it was going to be over. It was no surprise or no secret to anybody. But so I think you're already prepared for it by then, that if you were still coming down and still in a battle to maybe be even close to getting in, then, it might be a little harder to take, but right now it was just going to be a matter of a few more games and it was going to be done anyways.
Right. Yeah, they could have been like the Montreal Expos that one year that had the best record, and then the strike happened, and that was it. Could have been something like that, but it's not. So, Rob, as usual, looking at the positives. Rob Ray with us here on the Western Hotline. Yes, right? You are. Hey, wouldn't
it be like all of a sudden you do that little thing they put out a little while back saying, you know, this team was going to play this team and they would work their way up and everybody was going to be in it. Our luck would be that would be the year that we would win and everybody would look at it and goes, oh, it doesn't really count because, you know, you weren't supposed to be in it. You didn't. Yeah, so.
That's right.
Just think of all the agony and all the explanations we're saving ourselves.
Yes.
Moving forward.
Yes, again, just to keep pounding those positives. Rob, of course, no one knows what'll happen. I mean, it could be, I guess, conceivably a month and we start to see guys come back, or it could be much longer than that. It could be much longer than that if they come back for this season at all. Have you had any ideas or heard any ideas you like as far as what might work to adjust either the playoff format or, I suppose, even the lottery? That's been one thing they've talked about. Whether these remaining regular season games are important. Any thoughts at all on what they might do from here?
Well, I think the remaining games are highly important, you know, because a lot of these teams need it for their revenue.
Yeah.
And the players themselves need the revenue coming in or they're going to take a huge hit. So they'll be looking to play as many of the games as they possibly can, too, to try to drive that revenue up. So it is very important that if they do get it started, they can play as many as they can. But, you know, to adjust it mathematically, you know, to say you're in your age and this is where you're going to finish, that's going to be hard to swallow for some teams, I think. And I think that's where, yeah, they're all together in it, but you're going to see a little resistance if that come to that because, you know, not every team that, you know, maybe might make it, you know, might be, you know, on a little better roll right now than what they were type thing, you know, earlier in the year. So there's a lot of things that I think could go wrong and upset a lot of people that if they don't do it the right way.
All right. Well,
sure, you'd want to make it as fair as you can. I wasn't sure if Rob was done there or not.
I'm done.
Because, like, for instance, some people are – yeah, I know, you'd love to be done. The the 24
– out of the yard.
The 24 team idea, it's kind of interesting to me. It's been pointed out by a few different people to me. The Sabres would miss by a couple of points on that, but they have played two fewer games than Montreal, and like that's the kind of thing that I think you might find trouble getting. There's a similar situation in the West where a team, I think, that might be a couple of points out has played two or three fewer games than the teams that are in. So how do you rectify that? You know, you might just say, tough crap, unprecedented circumstance, we got to deal with it. Teams that are in the spots now are in the spots and that's it. Or you might try to accommodate getting everybody up to the same number of games played before you have the cutoff.
Well, that would be really the only fair way to do it is make sure everybody was, you know, at the exact same numbers. And that wouldn't be too hard to do. You know, you play, you know, a couple games for most teams that and they'd be all caught up, then they could make the decision from there. And the teams that they are not allowing into the playoffs, you know, if they're compensated in some way, you know, that it would help them, that, you know, to kind of just lessen the blow a little bit would be probably something they have to think about as well.
So, Rob, this week the Sabres are re-airing five old games one night each week. And I have you as having been a part of three of them as a player, and then one or both of the others as a broadcaster. Maybe you would have been at all five of these games. Have you seen the list? Have you paid attention to that?
I watched the first two games, the Dave Hannon one, and then last night. I love it. And I even get my son sitting there, and he's like asking questions about all these different guys and what was this guy like, and, you know, just trying to show him the differences in the game now, the way it's played compared to back then. And you know what? I like it because it's kind of maybe giving everybody a little look back of the way it was and the way it could be and possibly should be. But, it was nice to be a part of them. It'd be nice to see some of the older games, but I don't think they have that stuff. So, you know, you're going to go back as far as you can.
So you're watching with your son, And yep. last night it comes to pass that you are thrown out of the game, and they show a nice close-up of Milt Ellis announcing gross misconduct. What's the conversation with your son like about how that happened?
He goes, Daddy, what's a gross misconduct? And I said, I have no idea. I have no idea. I never even heard of that before. I have no idea what that's all about. He's like, oh, okay. So
typical.
I don't even know what I did for that. Like, you used to get a gross misconduct back in the day for, you know, spitting or doing stuff like that to players. But that stuff, that never happened. So I still, that little ref, Trottier, he was a little weasel. And he hated most of us anyways. And he just... You just see in a game where he's looking to dump everybody out of the game, and instead of just letting it happen, he never understood a situation. You know, here it is, two teams playing, it's the last game in the building, and, you know, it's supposed to be special, and he turned it into a friggin' mockery.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like I see your point. I mean, that's a game where it's more ceremonial, just like...
Yeah, you don't go in there and this is all about me in this situation. Trust me, there was nobody in that building to see him. So,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
Do you remember?
Right, that's my view, anyways.
Do you remember the players taking, I mean, how important was it, or like emotional was it, that it was the last game? You had played there for many years by then, like
yep.
some other guys had. Did it mean a lot to the team?
Yeah, it did. And you know what? A lot of those guys on that team weren't there very long. That team was, you know, a mixed mash of yep. a lot of guys that were kind of just, and it did. They still understood it because they knew history of the buildings, and they knew that, you know, because it had been talked about a lot leading up to it and different scenarios that happened in games. So the guys were aware of it, and they understood because they saw how people reacted to it, and, you know, you can only get caught up in it. But it was great. You know, even when I did get thrown out of that game, you know what it gave me a chance to do is, really for one of the first times, is because all the old guys were there that were, you know, for the banners and that, sat in the dressing room with them and BS for, you know, a period, and just drinking beer and getting ready to go back and help with the banners being dropped. And it is bad to get thrown out, but on the other hand, it gave you a great opportunity to sit and listen to those guys as well, because, you know, they experienced it a lot more than what we did.
Yeah.
Right. Having been at the game, I remember feeling like very disappointed that like we weren't going to get one last Rob Ray bout in the yard. Like, was that on your mind? Like, were you thinking about that all day and even into the game? Like, that you'd like to have one last fight in the yard?
No. No, okay. And I didn't even get to be, I don't think, the last one kicked out. So it was, you know, that kind of stunk too, but. You know, I don't know. No, you don't think about that stuff. Yeah, you know, what's big, glass cool, and all that kind of thing. It's always going to be remembered. You know, this stuff is kind of just trivial stuff that everybody forgets about over time.
You're right about the roster. I have not spent very much time thinking about that game. I don't think I've ever watched it, but it's Brent Hughes and Dane yeah. Jackson. And, like, so there was a Rochester sort of vibe on that team, like late season call-ups. Varada's first game.
Varada's first game, we're number nine.
Goal. You know, Trefilov,
right.
You know, Scott Pearson, you know, a yep. lot of guys that, you know, it was like, who, what? It took me a period to figure out who nine was out there the whole time, and I was like, who was nine? Because you couldn't see it close enough, and, you know, eventually Varada doing something that, you know, kind of brought awareness to it, but... To that point, I was like, I couldn't even remember who wore nine.
Yeah, I just caught that last night as they went to the intermission, and they had an interview coming up with Varada on the night of his first game, so pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and the night before was Scotty Nichols' first game, so yeah, there was a lot of guys there that, you know, nobody really, if they sat there and go, who the heck is that? You know, yeah. Unless they were huge fans, because they weren't household names.
Also, Jeff O'Neill.
Jeff yes. O'Neill, he was a lot skinnier then, wasn't he?
For Hartford, yes. yeah. Like, oh, that's Jeff O'Neill.
Skinnier and a lot less ink all over his neck and everything. So, yeah, he was a pretty good player back then.
You can say it. Yes, he had a nice career. All right.
He had some nice hands.
Well, Rob, I'm not worried about you at all after today.
Don't. I'm a survivalist.
You're fixing trucks and cleaning apartments and playing hockey with your boy. You've got a lot
I got a lot going on. I got a lot on my plate.
Yeah, good for you. All right. We're all right. We're doing well, too.
So, well, that's good.
Yes.
Are you guys sitting across from each other or beside each other?
No, Bulldog's home.
Oh. I'm in my attic. I'm in my attic. I've got your trusty Sherwood. The Rob Ray stick is right here. I'm holding it in my hands right now. Yeah, I will tweet out a
thing.
I will tweet out a picture of this beauty. Although I'm worried, the tape on here. I feel like I would seriously. I mean, I don't mean to make a joke about getting sick, but this tape has been on here for 20 years, and I don't like to get too close to it.
It's like eating the gum when you open a pack of old cards.
Right?
It's like chewing the gum.
Put it in cellophane wrap or something like that. Cover it up.
Yeah,
hey, bring it next time I see you, and I'll retape it for you.
Oh, sure. No, I like this. It's game used tape, so I feel good about that.
Yeah, just don't put it in your mouth.
I was in my office cleaning out the other day, and I probably got 500 sticks up there, and my son was up there looking at them all and this and that, and he picked up one, and somebody had signed it on the tape on the blade, and the tape was so dry that when he lifted it up, it all just fell off.
Oh.
And he's like, whose stick was this, Dad? And I go, I don't know. Let's put the tape back together here and see who signed it. So,
did that work?
No.
No, that's not going to work.
No, it didn't work. So.
All right. Yeah, I have a couple of those. Very good. Not 500. Rob, yeah. Great to talk to you. And call us anytime.
Anytime.
Yeah. All right.
Anytime
same.
Anytime I'm here, it's, you know.
All right. We'll keep this in mind. Maybe we'll check in with you next week. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, tomorrow. Everybody's like, I've got all this free time, not you. It sounds like you're just living your life the normal way.
Yeah, write a book on how to fill your free time.
That's one thing you could do with free time is write a book about how you're spending it. All right.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Rob. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care. Hey, be safe out there.
Yes.
All right, buddy.
Was there going to be a game tonight? I don't even know anymore. Doesn't really matter. When they play, you know, we talk to Rob every time.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
I got it here. What's today? The 25th? No. Last night at Montreal, tomorrow night at the Islanders.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Saturday at Minnesota.
Oh, geez. We miss a Minnesota game. Love those.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah. We miss Chicago here. That's one of the first picks every year in the draft that I have.
Sure.
Chicago home.
Yeah.
That game was one of the postponed games. Tonight, the Sabres will re-air on MSG their 10th win in a row to open the 2006-07 season. We've talked about it today and other times. It's not especially memorable. It was chosen because it was the 10th win to set the record for start of a season. There were some very memorable games in those first 10. Not really this one. But we'll talk about, like, I'll defend that point. I'll defend the point that, like, there are a lot of good choices from the beginning of that season and well into that season, of course. That's the President's Trophy year, 2006-2007. We'll do that and take your calls, too, if you want to talk. 803-0550 is the number. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
I've been doing stuff at my home. I've been to a gym once. I don't know if that's the smartest thing to do right now, so I'm trying to stay home as much as I can. At the same time, you get really bored, but you just gotta try to, like I said, try to stay home as much as I can to be safe.
That is Sabres forward Victor Olofsson visiting on Instigators on WGR earlier today. I've gone to the gym, and I think maybe I shouldn't have, among the things you get there. We're all trying to recalibrate here and do right. Hopefully, that's not everybody, but hopefully it's enough of us. We all should be paying attention. And I think most people are. I tend to feel optimistic. I have friends who are very negative and zombie apocalypse and this kind of talk. And I don't know. Like, I believe in the power and the strength of the country. And while certain forces, I don't know if that's really the right way to put it, led to us being way too late in reacting, I like how we reacted. We have reacted. I mean, I think it's been abundant locally, the reaction to this. And while there are exceptions, it's been taken very seriously. There are stories about certain places in the country that are looking at things differently and that it's like a politically motivated virus or some nonsense. But, you know, I just tend to focus on the fact that a lot of people are really making sacrifices and being smart. So here's to that.
Yeah, hear, hear. I've not I've not yet done this, and I don't know. I'm not one who filters Twitter. Like, you know, I mean, I choose who I'm following, obviously, and occasionally I add people, and occasionally I drop people. Like, something pops up in my feed, and I'm like, why am I following the Columbus Blue Jackets beat writer? I don't. Was that a trade deadline from 5 years ago? Goodbye. Like, no offense, but like, there's no reason for me to be investing in this. But I don't spend much time. I see people reference, like, oh, time to mute the word this or that, right? Like a politician or even the virus or something, just to keep that out of your feed. I've never used those tools on Twitter, but for the first time ever, I'm contemplating doing that for my mental health. I think in at least maybe the majority of time, I do want to know what's going on. So I want information, but there's no, when you're on there, you really don't, the only valve you have to turn it on or off is just get off of there. So if you're on there trying to find out if, I don't know, who did the Jets sign? Rashad Perriman.
Yes.
You're trying to find out who the Jets signed today, and Twitter is where I normally get that information. Like, I'm scrolling through, and I've got my friends on there. I might want to see if you're up to anything, or Sal, or whatever, right? Just Twitter. But along with that, because of the way I don't filter anything, comes a lot of stuff. And every day for the last couple of weeks, there's been a point where I've just gone, all right, I gotta put that away.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be more effective to just, on Twitter itself, sort of put that stuff away for most of the day and then sort of catch up on it when I'm prepared to do so. Okay, what's being reported? What did the president say today? What did health experts say to refute what the president said today? Like, whatever. Just sort of get it all at once rather than every 20 minutes be getting a reminder that, oh, the curve's not flattening, or, you know, what, it just it, stuff that is not in the day-to-day really helping. That's not to say you want to ignore it, but it's just being poked constantly about it is also not going to help. I mean, it's just not healthy, and it's more of a distraction than anything else.
Yeah, I have also never used that. What is that feature even called? Like, where you can have certain words,
yeah.
You know, what? Any tweet with those words in it you don't see? Is that how that works?
Right.
I've not used that either, but there are two words I think I could, I doubt I'll do it, but I think Trump is a good word to do that for, because you're really not getting the truth, and then you have all these friends who are pointing that out, that you really don't need that either. You know, you really,
right.
you just, all of it is just in the way.
So
I think that's fine. And then also the word horrifying is one that I don't really need, because, like, it'll be just late at night and there'll be some reference to the market or the economy or, you know, the way the curve looks and where the USA is headed versus other countries. And, like, this is horrifying, you know? We know, like, if you're
right.
if you're doing your best and you're paying attention, then that's good. And these reminders of how bad it could be, I don't know how really useful they are. I mean, as long as you're doing your part to stay home and, you know, be smart and all those same things, then what do you have to find? What do you have to read all the time? What do you have to expose yourself to all the time? I mean,
that's absolutely it. That's what I'm. Yeah. I mean, I just don't. I want to know, but I don't need it, like, because so much of it is repetitive. You know, you're just getting the same things over and over again. Like you're saying, your friend's making comments about it or whatever, and so you're just seeing the same thing that's already aggravating you or maybe scaring you or whatever, and you just sort of, you're trying to compartmentalize it and just put it over there because it's, you know, there's nothing I can really do about it right now. But then there it is again 45 seconds later. I mean, there's no way to live. it's just not helpful. So, yeah, I think I'm gonna figure that out, because I like Twitter, social media in general, but Twitter especially, like, gets a really bad rap. But I also find it, like, the community of people whose opinions I respect and viewpoints that, you know, I respect, I find it kind of comforting. You know, we're not getting any social contact, really, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jeremy's been over here the last two mornings with the gear, But he's, like, literally put it down on my porch outside my front door, and I've waved at him, and he's walked off, and I've gone outside and picked it up and
really?
Come in.
That's what you're doing there?
Mm-hmm. We're just, you know, there's no, we're not, you know, we're not chit-chatting. We're not, I mean, Molly brought a banana bread for us yesterday, and I gave him the pan back today. But, like, there's no real interaction happening there. You know, and like other than that, I mean, that's it. It's just me and like today, my wife's at work. It's just me and the boys all day. And, you know, that's why the park was such a good thing. I mean, it wasn't, it's not social in the way that you're visiting with people, but it was interaction. There were people smiling at my dog and smile, you know, so it was nice. But Twitter in a certain way can be that when it's, you know, when it's not a disaster. And so I like to be on there. I don't find it like troubling that like, I'm on here too much. I got to stop or anything until now. Like the point I started this conversation with, I'm getting overloaded by bad news that I already know. And I want to turn that off. But other than that, like, I don't know. I'm good with the platform. You know, I find it kind of helpful.
I'm really loving Cars 3. I don't know if that's a platform, but it's great. I've mentioned Cars 3, this video game. And last night was peak Cars 3 excitement in my house. So the four of us are all, as I've said, pretty even at this game. Mm-hmm. And one of the things you can do in it is, like, you know, like any video game nowadays, right? You have to beat Chick Hicks. Chick Hicks is the like announcer guy from Cars. You have to beat him in this game called Takedown, where you're like shooting at the bad guy cars. It's my son's favorite, of course. Mm-hmm. So if you get a hundred hits in whatever it is, like 4 minutes or something, as a group, then you beat Chick Hicks, which means you can use his car in your races. And so, like, all right, let's try that. And we did that, and like the second time we did it, this was the last race. We'll take one more shot at the Chick Hicks challenge, and then that's it. It's bedtime. And we got 99 out of 100. So no Chick Hicks. You are not eligible to use Chick Hicks. 99 out of 100. You need 100. So we all just like screamed, like, no! I mean, it's you'd rather end up with like 80, so then you just right. go to bed. 99. So we had to play it again. We played again, four more minutes, 99 again.
Oh, boy.
99 again. Like, no, like, everybody's standing up. All four of us are just, like, walking around the room. No! Like, without even discussing it, let's go.
Who's doing it? Who's actually the one trying to get the score?
All of us combined.
All of you combined, okay.
Yeah, all of us combined are trying to get the 100 hits yep. in this 4 minutes, and it was 99 and then 99 again, so we had to keep going, and then we win the next time. We over 100 the next time, and then it's, all right, well, now we have the Chick Hicks car, so we have to play, and and the kids are like, I want to be Chick Hicks. Like, you can both be Chick Hicks. So then we had to do another race from there, and it was, and I'm like, all right, this is going to be bad. We're up until, like, the kids are up until, like, 9:30 here on this Xbox, 2 hours, and it's going to be bad. And, of course, like, it's 10:45, and neither of them can sleep, and my daughter's complaining about her foot, and I can't sleep, you know, like we deserve this.
Yeah,
because right. it was this kind of, we went hard at Chick Hicks.
Right, and these are the consequences. Adrenaline rush from that kind of competition, you just don't, you know, can't turn that off.
No, that's, and it, yeah. Absolutely.
And at their age, there's no bar to go to. Not that there's any place to go for
not even for me,
you and Carolyn either. But yeah, I mean,
it's, how do you wind down from that?
Yeah, it's tough.
I don't know. Similarly, people have a tough time winding down from tonight's Islanders. No, not really. But I do want to get back to 06-07 because this is the 10th game of that winning streak, and there's a lot that's memorable. And there's a certain point I want to make from that. So we'll talk more.
Good.
06-07 Sabres here soon.
Yeah, I wanted to mention real quick here, too. I don't know if people know this or not, but the timing of it is really nice tonight. These Sabres games have been going at 8. NBCSN has also been running through the afternoon into the evening different themed nights, and tonight's is Winter Classics, and the Sabres-Penguins Winter Classic is airing between 6 and 8 p.m. on NBCSN. So, like, if you're... Like last night, for instance, Penguins Flyers game 3 from 2012, like one of the nastiest hockey games I've ever seen in my life, that was on, and we had to switch out of it to get to the Sabres game, which we chose to do. Tonight, the timing is perfect. You want to watch the Sabres and Penguins at Ralph Wilson Stadium, you can do that and then seamlessly just shift right into this Sabres-Islanders game. So I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, good. So you have a spot here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
No, I just found out.
I thought
maybe you didn't know.
I did. I guess I'm confused. I thought it was coming up later. So, all right, I can get on that for you. I can tell everybody about Mr. Lawn Care again. Now that the snow's pretty much gone, it's time to love your lawn up again. If you're tired of trying to make your lawn look green and weed-free, yet it never works, my advice to you would be, well, call Mr. Lawn Care. They're locally owned experts, and have them help restore your lawn to become lush, green, weed-free, and healthy. Like, I know you may have an unprecedented amount of free time, but don't waste that free time on something that often, at least in my experience, you're not going to get right anyway. You try to do this, like, fertilize the lawn thing yourself, and it just, I ended up with brown patches and weeds. So that was not a good use of my time, even if I had a lot of it or not. So with the pros at Mr. Lawn Care, you don't end up with that. You end up with a plush, green, weed-free lawn, and there's a fantastic offer, if you even needed that on top of this, to get you going here. If you invest in 4 lawn treatments right now from Mr. Lawn Care, they will give you another one for free. That's right, 4 lawn care treatments, and get one for free only at Mr. Lawn Care. Let them take care of your lawn, and when they do, I bet you're going to love the results. Call and ask about their buy 4, get one more for free offer right now. Restrictions apply. You can find them by Googling Mr. Lawn Care or find them on Facebook, or just call 683-LAWN today. That's 683-LAWN for Mr. Lawn Care.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, welcome back. Thanks for joining us here. Without so much of the sports we're used to, we've still had a lot of football to talk about. We've reminisced about the Sabres quite a bit, lining up with their smart decision and much appreciated decision to play back some old games. We're still us, though, so we're scrutinizing some of the choices. And we're also talking about these adjustments that we're all making. And you know, like a lot of us are teachers, too, now, you know, teachers in quotes. It's been really challenging and interesting to do that at home. I gave my son a project, and my daughter and I are playing these math games every day. And, you know, there's always... Well, not always necessarily, but there are opportunities in this climate, and one is more time with the kids. So instead of going home and not having any idea at all what their school day was like, and when I ask, they just say it was good. This way, like, I'm around for most of it, like, really. So it's very interesting and not ideal, but challenging and rewarding a little bit too. We have. Still 2 hours to go. We'll talk about the 06-07 season, the season on display tonight on MSG. It's the 10th game of their 10-game winning streak to start that season, but it's maybe the least memorable. I mean, there are 2 or 3 that I don't remember anything about on this list, but the other ones, oh yeah, like not what I wore for those games, but I mean, vivid memories.
Yeah, I mean, I think you mentioned it earlier, the games around the October Storm would be good games to get on, because, you know, a lot of people maybe never saw them. They certainly didn't see them live. Maybe they've seen them as the years have gone by here. But the Sabres played on a Friday night in Detroit and won in a shootout. These were like the fourth and fifth games of that season. And the Detroit game was the heavier day, I think, as far as power outages go. But still Saturday, the way I remember that Saturday was just working around my neighborhood, my yard, and neighbors' yards with chainsaws and just, I mean, moving debris to the curb for, I don't know, like 10 hours or more, just all day. And then we ended up with a house full of people because we were one of the few houses that didn't lose power. So we got to watch that Ranger game, that home game. It was the first night they wore the old sweaters, which was awesome.
Right, right.
And then they just trucked the Rangers. It's an all-time game for me because of, you know, you get the camaraderie of that feeling, you know, of having put in a hard day's work, which in our field, Mike, is pretty rare. But, you know, outside all day, like, you know, just working really as hard as I've ever worked for as long in my life that day. And, you know, cold beer and good food and a fire and like friends and loved ones. I mean, we might have had 20 people in our house that night because there were, you know, again, a lot of people didn't have power, but we did. So we had a party, and that was a great, great night.
And the Sabres were such a source of pride. I mean, after the 06 year, that the next day the Bills go and lose in Detroit. The next day the Bills go and lose in Detroit and bring us back to earth. But the Sabres were like so hot. I went to that game, that Ranger game, in the press box, and I have no idea why I did that. I hope I wasn't like sort of running from a like real work, as you put it. But I went to that game alone and sat in the press box, which I maybe have not done since. I just kind of wanted to be there for it.
Yeah.
So that's what I remember about it. I just don't remember why I chose that.
Right. So. And then the next game after that, I'm sorry if I'm like running ahead here on this, but the next game after that is the game that caused all the Flyers to get fired.
Yeah.
Like the next Tuesday after that, I think, is a home game, and it's 9-1 on Philly. Like, wow, what a night.
Yeah, like very, very few nights they've ever had compare
to
that, for just like the blowout that was. All right, so we'll go into that list a little bit more after sports.
All right, yeah, real good. I'll right now talk to you this time about the folks at Excelsior Orthopedics. Look, we all know we're living through an extraordinary time. Things have changed dramatically, and as you're hunkered down and trying to stop the spread of this virus, you're trying to live your life, stay active. I mentioned, you know, I was out in the park today, walking, doing a very little bit of light running. I saw a lot of families out there doing the same sort of stuff, and, you know, accidents can still happen, and you or a family member could end up with a strain, sprain, or break, and that's where Excelsior Orthopedics comes in. Especially right now, they would encourage you to avoid hospitals and general urgent care centers, because the great doctors and nurses at those facilities need to be focusing on the care of folks who may be battling the virus or other serious health conditions as well. So you can take some pressure off by going to Excelsior Orthopedics Express with injury concerns like muscles, muscle injuries, bone injuries, you know, breaks, or joint problems. Excelsior Orthopedics Express expert urgent care is exclusively for those types of injuries. Again, we're talking about sprains and breaks, muscle injuries, that kind of thing. So you come into Excelsior, see a specialist, you walk out with everything you need. Imaging, casting, splints, you name it. Excelsior Orthopedics Express is open evenings and weekends at Sheridan Drive in Amherst, and weekdays in Orchard Park in Niagara Falls. To reserve a spot, please call ahead, 250-9999. It's Excelsior Orthopedics Express.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.